is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next up, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. Let's bring Janessa on to reintroduce herself, the show, and what's up for today. Welcome back.
Welcome to Eyes Wide Open. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence, and we hold the power of perception. This power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, and the seen and the unseen. Hi, I'm your host, Janessa Finley Ford, an empowerment coach who guides clients in transmuting their trials into triumph through emotional processing, mindset mastery, and spiritual clarity so they can come to know and believe they are unstoppable. We love to start the show with a funny story. I'm not truly sure the story itself is funny, but hopefully you'll enjoy hearing me talk about it and sound like a child while I am absolutely a grown adult. So SJ and I worked an event this weekend. On Monday, I decided I was going to have some play in my life and take a little space away from work since we had worked the weekend. So I went to a park. I went to a park for the first time without Travis. So it's a park that we went to quite a bit last year for sanity and serenity and to really soak in the rhythms of nature, that security of the earth as things are moving around you, seeing the frogs jump in the water and play and hear the wind blow through the leaves and the stillness and steadiness of the trees and the earth. It was very therapeutic for us. And it's been a place that my heart has been calling me to. However, I have not wanted to go without him, and there was grieving involved in, you know, facing that. And so finally on Monday, I decided today is the day. As I'm riding my motorcycle to the park, I get stopped at a stoplight, of course. And I usually love to use stoplights as a time to focus on things that I want to create and manifest and where my life is going. And the tears just started streaming down my face. And I'm like, well, this is a predicament. I can't cry on a motorcycle because what if I can't see to ride and drive and this light is going to turn green? And instead of fighting the tears and trying to hold them back, I just appreciated them. I appreciated them for wanting to share this moment with Travis. And, you know, I just sat with that sadness and allowed the emotion versus resisting the emotion. So I ride the rest of the way to the park and I pull in the park and I see this college age kid. He is, you know, half my age and he is in a field flying a kite. This park is very big. There's probably another mile to drive to get to the area that I was going to. And my body just lit up and it said, I want to. And so I stopped riding and I sat there and I looked in my little rearview mirror at the kite and the kid. And I'm like, oh, but am I going to go approach a stranger, really? And I thought about just going on my way. And it didn't sit right. Like my body shrank, like it was going to miss out on something. And so I parked my bike and I walked back into this field where this guy was flying a kite and introduced myself and really just very vulnerably explained, like, I am way too many years old, way, way too many years old to have never flown a kite. And I really haven't. And I have no idea how you're keeping that thing in the air. Will you just explain it to me? How does it work? And so he was flying what is called a stunt kite, where there are two ropes or cords, and each of them are looped around the wrist. And so then it's pulling against the wind, to keep it in the air, and it like dances in the air and dips and dives. And so that's part of the fun of flying it, right? I'm sure you guys all listening, you're like, yeah, we've flown a kite. We know what it's all about. Well, I'm telling you my experience going through it for the very first time. So anyway, I fly this kite and it was so freaking fun. Did I fly it fantastically? No. But did I keep it in the air for a series of at least 10 seconds? Yes. And that felt like such a win. And so I feel like there is also a beautiful underlying theme in the story of, in the personal development space, there can be so much focus on high vibes only, good vibes. In fact, I even had a client ask me this question about what is all of this high vibe business all about literally today? So I don't know that really being human is all about high vibes all the time, but I do think that the full experience of being human is to be in this state of childlike awe and wonder and joy and fascination over something so flipping simple as this paper material object connected to two ropes, and at the same time experience sadness and grief because of life circumstances. Like, that is the beauty and wonder and joy of being human. It's not that our sadness is bad or wrong, and we're actually going to get much more into emotions next week when SJ is on with us. So I'm going to keep this part of that story there for now, but I hope you all will go do something that lights you up and makes you feel childlike and just so appreciative of the little things, because when we start dialing into those things, we see the miracles showing up around us all of the time, and it makes life so much more enjoyable. I could have ridden my motorcycle on past that point, and I could have gone and just sat where we went and sat, and I could have sat in my sadness, and it wouldn't have been the same experience. And my experience at the park was even so, if you follow on social media, on my personal page, I posted both the owl and the kite. So there's a one-wing owl. That is the reason why I was going to the park in the first place, was to visit this owl. His name is Kazoo. And we met Kazoo when Travis and I went to the park for the first time. He was hit in a storm, lost a wing, and he's been cared for ever since. And he's quite elderly old man. And so I had some fear going to the park too that maybe Kazoo wasn't still there. And so I really wanted to go see Kazoo, but when I parked in the parking lot, there is a one-room schoolhouse, and you guys all know I started my education in a one-room schoolhouse. And so I decided, Travis and I have never gone and looked at that, and I just want to go reminisce for a hot minute. So I'm going to walk up there, and I went up to the schoolhouse, and then I saw there's all these trails out in the prairie. So my heart called me into the prairie, and I walked the prairie for almost 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And when I got to one split in a trail, my heart called me to the left. Like, oh, I want to go that direction. Not yet. I haven't walked far enough, but I think there's buffalo over there. So when I come back, I'm turning here. And I did. On my way back, I then turned right? Because it's opposite direction on your way back. And there was a buffalo. I love buffalo. When I was in Oklahoma at a wildlife refuge, the buffalo were out of the fence. I don't recommend this. Don't do this. You see people all the time in Yellowstone National Park get too close to the buffalo. It does not end well. Don't do it. Just don't do it. I, however, decided, oh, the farm girl in me, I know how herds work. I know not to get between the male and, you know, the females, the calves, like, be in the right position. Everything will be fine. So I walked with the buffalo. It was really cool. And I have some really cool pictures from that experience. And so I do. I also get really lit up and geek out about buffalo. They're so majestic and amazing. And so I saw this buffalo. She was by herself. And I walk the rest of the way then back to the nature center and I go see Kazoo. And I'm talking to the lady. Stay with me. I'm bringing the story full circle in just a moment. So I talked to the lady who takes care of Kazoo and I was asking her about the buffalo. And I asked if they had them split, if because there seemed to be a buffalo by itself. Was it sick? Was it injured? She didn't have that information. She doesn't take care of the buffalo. There's a different organization that does, so information sharing isn't completely open. However, she said there's 6 females that are kept there, and someone else had mentioned to them that you can only see 5 from the main viewing area, which I did go to on my way home, and you could only see 5. However, I found the 6th, and I know where the 6th buffalo is, because I followed my heart and I went intuitively where I felt I needed, wanted to go that day. And I was just in a state of allowance. So that was my really fun day at the park. Owls, buffalo, the hidden buffalo, a one-room schoolhouse, and flying a kite with a kid half my age. It was magical. And these are the little miracles in life if we have the eyes to see. And really appreciate them for the amazingness that they are, instead of discounting them, that they're little and insignificant. So I had a question posed to me also this week by a client, and it ties really well into, I want to get into the universal laws. And so on our way into the universal laws, we'll probably talk about them today, and likely you won't be able to get through all of them, so we'll wrap them up in 2 weeks. But on the way into the universal laws, because they really are the spiritual aspect of the things that we cannot see in this world, they're principles that we can live by and can't necessarily tangibly pick them up, squeeze them, touch them, and know they are real. So my client asked me this week if I ever doubted God during the trials that Travis and I experienced last year. And the really quick, short, easy answer to that is no, but I don't feel that answer really does the question justice. So I'm going to share with you a little bit of my background of my younger years. And as I shared in my intro episode, I got married at a really young age. I got married at 21, and I was divorced before my 23rd birthday. So I was married for about a year. And when we split, I had an eating disorder at that time, you know, really heavy part of life, very young, trying to figure things out and find my way and all of the things that come with your early 20s, which were not necessarily masterful for me by any stretch of the imagination. And during that time of the breakup, I relied on things that were not the healthiest for me to cope with it. And I worked a job where drinking after work and after meetings was very socially acceptable with a lot of people my age. And alcohol was a part of my journey to move through that time. And depression was a part of that journey. Feeling like a failure was part of that journey. Lots of negative head talk, lots of self-criticism, lots of church confusion, having been raised in the Catholic Church, married in the Catholic Church, divorced in the Catholic Church, and then I sought the annulment through the Catholic Church, and that process led me to more questions about faith and religion, spiritual religion, God's law, religious rules. And I feel as though I walked in the wilderness or in the darkness, or I had my season where I can't say I fully gave up on God, but I was so confused in navigating what had been taught to me through this religious organization and what felt true and intuitive. I couldn't find things in the Bible to back some of the rules and rules and regs, as I now like to call them after working in the government, around, you know, what the church, how the church governed its entity. And, you know, that separation that I experienced at that time did not bring anything positive. It didn't help that experience be easier. It didn't help it feel like it went faster. It certainly didn't help me heal the wounds that a lot of them I created on my own throughout that experience. And so I really had that to lean back on. And then the large amount of personal development work I had done leading up prior to last year, where I knew I could count on myself and I knew that my connection to source is within me. And if I give up on God, I'm giving up on myself. Like, it's one and the same in my world. And that absolutely was not going to happen. And so in reflecting on how I have walked previous trials in life, I knew that I was all in believing that whatever was happening was going to be worked for good. And I feel like I'm beginning to see some of those miracles already unfold, and it's mind-blowing and awe-inspiring. Yet I feel like there's still so much more ahead of us. And so I really leaned into, if it's not this life that I had built prior to that situation happening, if it's not, you know, this government employment and the things that I had identified myself with that were very external of me, that were falling away. So if it's not that, then it's something better. And I just didn't know what that something better was, but I knew that I was going to all in on Russian roulette, that it was something better. And so that is where all of my energy, all of my mindset, and there is a lot of doubt, guys. I will be real with you. There was a lot of coming back to remembering my truth and leaning into the faith and letting go of, I don't see it in the physical at all, but I am choosing not to believe the physical, that there is something happening in the supernatural. There's something happening in the spiritual. And I will understand someday that day is not today. And so for right here, right now, I have to come back to present moment. And I know right now in this present moment, I have air, I have water, I have food, I have shelter, I'm safe, I'm well, I'm fine, I'm love, I'm light. And I just had to keep coming back and taking it one moment at a time. But like I said, I knew that if I gave up on God, I was giving up on myself. And in that context, it's so easy for me to choose to be all in my faith. Now, as things always play out in the world around us, I was working with a program at that time who brought in a coach. And this coach, part of what she used were the universal laws. And so it was the introduction of those through her in this coaching that opened me up to, oh, there's more to know than the Ten Commandments. And I think that having a moral compass is incredible. And I think that's, of course, spoken like a true Enneagram 1. All the listeners out there who know enough about the Enneagram 1 and their integrity, yes, laugh it up, for sure. I am living my programming of personality. But I do think there's a lot to be said for living through those principles as well. However, what integrity or moral compass looks like can be debated, and I'm not here for that conversation today, but I will say that leaning into those spiritual beliefs has served me very well, personally, in my life as well. And so I feel as though it was coupling those spiritual beliefs with the universal laws that really allowed me to maintain positivity and spiritual connection and not ever feel like I was forsaken. Like, I knew the choice was mine, which is an incredible place of empowerment, because years ago, I did not feel like the choice was mine. I felt like I was not worthy and I was disconnected from source back going through the divorce and some of those hard times that I had. And so that alone is a huge testimony. And if any of you out there are feeling that way, please reach out, because that is part of the coaching that we do within the Stronger Together community, to have this clear spiritual connection and knowing that we are always, always connected to the divine. And sometimes it might not feel like it, but it's not because we've ever been forsaken. Never. So let's get into the universal laws. The very first universal law that we're going to talk about, I suppose if you look these up, they're in a bunch of different, they're in different orders. There's also, if you rely on Google, I don't necessarily recommend, but if you rely on Google, you'll also find where some people say there's more than 12 universal laws. There's also the Hermetics, which are 7 principles. Those are also well worth, however, they overlap with the 12 universal laws, but Hermetics are well worth the investment of aligning your mindset and your beliefs with as well. It will make life so much better and so much enjoyable. So our first law that we're going to talk about here today is the law of divine oneness, which states that every thought, every behavior, every action, every word somehow is subconsciously connected and has an effect on all others. And this is such a very different story compared to what our ego likes to tell us, right? Like, we are very alone. I. Ego's all about me. There's no support. That was an old story I used to live as well. What I do doesn't matter, right? It tells us a completely different story that paints a completely different reality. But if we lean into this law of divine oneness and even think about some of or look into some of the scientific research that's been done, we've talked about here before that, you know, back in fifth grade, we learned, I don't know why fifth grade, maybe because there was that quiz show on TV, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I'm not actually sure it's in fifth grade when we learned this, but that's my saying. So back in the day, we learned that everything moves, everything has vibration, everything, you know, and that's another law we'll get to in a second, but the chair you're sitting in has a vibration. And science shows that people can be separated. They can be in different rooms and they can track the thoughts of the people and they demonstrate they're connected. It was really cool to look at some of these studies in how what one person's thought and the other person's action behavior in the time frame that they occurred, like, it's not coincidence. It can't be coincidence. If you want to dive deeper into that, quantum entanglement is also a fascinating thing that you can do additional research on and really go down into that rabbit hole. And what would you do differently if you believed that we were all one versus what I do doesn't matter? Like, if you think that you're alone, nobody's watching, and your choice has no effect on anyone at all, is there less investment in taking care of yourself, standing in integrity, whatever it is, right? But if you come at it from the angle that if your head talk is negative and you're berating yourself, that has an effect on all the other people too, does that give you more motivation to be kinder to yourself or to work on those things or to make different decisions, to have different thoughts, to choose different actions, to feel differently? Every single atom inside of you is connected in some way, shape, or form to the rest of the universe you move through. And everything we do has a ripple effect and impacts the collective, not just ourselves. So there's some ways to incorporate this law into your daily life. And this is where it really gets good. It's one thing to know the universal laws, but if you don't apply them, if you're just like, yeah, I know that, but I'm still going to live in my ego separated from everyone else, only worrying about myself, then nothing changes. It is the knowing and the incorporating. It's the knowing and the integrating. It's the knowing and the embodying. And that is where the magic begins to happen. So they say where your energy goes, I don't know the saying after all, actually. I don't know. It just completely left my mind. But the point is whatever you focus on is where your energy goes, and that is what shows up for you. And so a great way to start working with this law is to find the good in every person, even the people that challenge you, even the people that trigger you, even the people that when you think about them, the first 15 things that come to your mind are things that you do not love or appreciate about them. But what are the 1, 2, 3 things that are good about them? And can you focus on that first? And as you incorporate this into your daily life, then do you notice your interactions with other people becoming more positive? And do you notice people seeing the good in you more as well? What effect are you able to create by being very intentional about the thoughts, emotions, behaviors, actions that you're bringing into the world? Let's move on to the second law. The second law of the universe that we're going to talk about is the law of energy. This is, and you'll notice too, as I talk about them, I feel like a lot of them go together, like peas and carrots, salt and pepper. Like it's a glove that fits perfectly on your hand. They just intertwine, which, I mean, of course, right? Because didn't we just talk about how everything's connected? The law of oneness? So I just was talking about how everything has a vibration, and that is essentially the law of energy. So going back to the pen in your hand, if you're taking some notes, and the paper, that they both have a frequency. They both vibrate, even though you can't see them moving. Just like the spiritual, these laws, they exist. There's an intelligence that creates everything. And when we tap into that intelligence and work within its framework, we're able to start creating and manifesting. So part of that is knowing that everything has energy. Everything has vibration. Even the organs in your body have a different vibration. Your heart has a different vibration than your kidneys. Your spleen has a different vibration than the liver. The, like I said before, chair that you're sitting on has its own vibration. I believe it was Dr. Hawkins that mapped out emotions and made that tangible evidence of shame is the lowest emotion, the lowest vibration emotion, and enlightenment is at the top of that chart and is the highest vibration emotion. So even the emotions we feel have a different vibration. This is how you can recognize, not from just body language, even if you don't look at someone when you walk in a room, maybe they're behind a partition or whatever, you can feel the sadness or heaviness, or you can feel the joy and the lightness. They feel different because they have their own energy. And nothing in the universe stands still. There are objects being pushed away or pulled toward. There is the dynamic of repel and attract, and we'll get into that deeper within a different law in the future. But as everything is pushed and pulled, things move in a circular pattern, including your thoughts and your emotions. And because likeness attracts likeness, your thoughts, your emotion, your vibration will combine with those things that hold the same vibration. So there's a saying, misery loves company. Why is that? Or if you're around someone really negative, you can feel the positivity drain out of you and your vibration begins to match that other person. So this is how the law of energy shows up around us. And there are different ways. I, of course, love to incorporate the Enneagram into all of the things, right? So that I speak to everyone in their innate programming. Some people are designed to think, some people are designed to feel, other people are designed to do. So I'm going to give you an example of a way that you can incorporate this into your life for all three of them. So if you are the thinker and you spend a lot of time in your head with a lot of thoughts and you try to think about your emotions to process them, you think about all the things because thinking is where it's at. I invite you to commit to focusing on something that you want and create just a little bit of time every day to intentionally focus your thoughts on that thing. And just choose one thing. It's so easy to want a whole lot of things, right? $1 million, an amazing trip, a promotion at work, for our kids to have something, for our kids to feel some sort of way, for our kids not to do something, just behave. There's so many things that we can want. Just pick one. And then create that small window. I don't care if it's 5 minutes, 2 minutes. Just begin to be very intentional with your thoughts. One of the things about, you know, these laws that I'm talking about in our brains, since we're talking about thinking, we'll go here for a minute, down a little side bunny trail. The way that our brains are programmed and automatically function is to see lack. It's to see a gap between where we want to be, what we want to achieve, and where we are. And we can achieve that thing, and as soon as we achieve that thing, there's the next thing to achieve, so our brain moves us right back into the gap, right on into the next gap. Like, we don't celebrate what we've achieved very long before we fall back into the lack. And that is our brain's natural programming. It is all about survival, and the laws of the universe are all about thriving. They're all about abundance. There's no lack in the laws of the universe. There's more than enough. And so the more that we can become masters of our mindset, taking our brain out of the autopilot default settings that it comes with, not using cruise control, and telling our brain how we want it to work so that it works for us, empowers us to have the things that we desire. And it's much faster and much easier to do all of that with some energetics than it is to recite affirmations every day for 3 weeks to 3 months or however long it will take. For some people, I've heard they've worked on them for 6 months or longer before they got so frustrated they decided to try something else. So affirmations are wonderful and beautiful as long as you have the tools and the means to feed them into your unconscious and into your beliefs. And energetics, using the energy, the law of energy to make that happen, will expedite the process. So for the thinkers, just get started being really intentional and placing your focus and your thoughts on that one thing that you want. And then after you think about that, I want you to feel and sense, does your energy feel different when you are thinking about seeing yourself having had it already? Like you've gotten that job promotion if that's what you're focused on. You're in that promotion, you're making that extra money, you're doing X, Y, and Z with the extra money, you're loving the position, it's fulfilling you. Does your energy feel different thinking those thoughts than it does when you're standing and just letting your brain run on autopilot? So for our feelers, let's apply this to feeling. Now, we've talked about the emotion chart, right? And that there's a vibration for all of the various emotions that we feel. And so there's a lot of ways to be able to transmute those emotions. There's tapping, there's journaling, there's, you know, moving your body, doing, exercising while you're thinking your way up the scale from the shame to maybe anger. That's even higher up than shame is. So simply just even moving your body. Meditation, working with crystals, breath work. There's so many ways, so many ways to transform your emotions. So our feelers out there, if you don't have any tools, I want you to go to our page, the Eyes Wide Open page on the News for the Soul website. And if you go to the 11 things, you're going to find a tapping tutorial that I have on YouTube. It's an amazing, real quick self-care tool. Once you have it all memorized, it'll take you less than 10 minutes to walk through the whole tapping routine. And it will also guide you on taking a measurement of your emotions before and after. It's very tangible. You'll notice, feel the difference. That is a great tool to help you start working with transmuting that energy around your emotions. So for my feelers out there, that is my recommendation if you don't already have tools and means to do it on your own. And then let's finally cover my group of doers out there. And do I have any fellow doers out there? I'm a doer myself. As we do all of the tasks, we can find them to be really boring and mundane, right? Like laundry is not for this girl. It happens. I'm a responsible adult, but you better believe I'm going to put it off as long as I can. My significant other, on the other hand, clothes are clean all the time. Probably doesn't go longer than 2 days without doing a load of laundry. And interestingly enough, he's not a doer either. So anyway, back to the point, the doer, the mundane, the boring task. I want you to pick the most boring task because this is going to be probably one of the lower vibrations that you're going to hold to notice the difference. So maybe it is laundry. Maybe it's cleaning a shower. Maybe it's going out and pulling some weeds or doing yard work. Maybe it is something mundane like balancing a bank statement, if anyone out there even does that anymore. But whatever thing is just not your jive, I want you to be very intentional the next time you do it and find a way to infuse it with joy and fun. Maybe for you, that's going to be putting on a podcast and hearing something new and intriguing, or another episode of Eyes Wide Open, or another show from News for the Soul. Maybe it's going to be putting on music and really just embodying the joy and the fun and the vibe and the beat of the music. Maybe just explore it like a child, like flying that kite for the first time ever. Like maybe this is the first time you've ever cleaned out your car or, you know, folded laundry. Like what is the best way to do this? And start thinking about it from a different way versus just doing it the way that you've always, you know, programmed, have done it. If you're cleaning something, like, what little adventurous nuggets are you going to find in there that, who knows, there's a little, that side compartment in the door in my car where I put all the things. And especially this time of year, I ride my motorcycle most all of the time. So sometimes it'll be a year before I clean out that little compartment of gum wrappers or business cards. And it actually can be adventurous to go back through that and see what's in there. And then remember, like, oh, yeah, I went to this networking meeting and, oh, I met this person. See if by intentionally infusing that mundane doing thing, maybe the dishes, with something that is going to increase the energy around it, how you feel. And the reason why, there's a lot of different ways to observe energy. Like, we could simply just talk about ice, water, and steam. But I'm giving you these examples very intentionally because this is where our empowerment comes in. This is where we start, and we'll get to this law later, but this is where we start being at cause. So it's really incredibly valuable to have as many tools in your toolkit to master the art of being human as you can possibly obtain. All right, our last law for today probably, and then we'll probably have to wrap it up, but maybe we'll squeeze in two, we'll see, is the law of correspondence. And the law of correspondence establishes that whatever is happening external of you is a mirror of what's occurring internal. So essentially, we project outwardly all of our unconscious patterns, thoughts, and beliefs, and we see it show up in the world around us. So if we unconsciously believe in lack and scarcity, or you allow your brain to run on autopilot and live in the gap, you are going to see that lack and scarcity in the world around you. And really, there are two things that this law requires for us to really capitalize on it and lean into it. It requires the belief that everything is happening for you. Right? I talked about that with the event last year and going through that. That if not this, something better. This is happening for my betterment. This is happening for me, not to me. And if I learn whatever I need to learn from this situation, which there were a lot of learning, there's a lot of opportunity happening. And I did my very best to not miss any of those opportunities. If we learn and grow and evolve, then for sure everything is happening for our betterment. And we start seeing different things in the world. It's the lessons in life that when we collect them and apply the lesson the next time a situation shows up, that's when the pattern stops repeating in the future. Because we see things differently. So we might have this exact same situation arise, and instead of feeling like someone's betrayed and hurt us, maybe we actually see their pain. And you can see that they're acting out of, you know, fear, or access a life example. We've all had it happen to us in some form or another. The other thing this law requires is really radical responsibility. So if you don't take responsibility for what's going on internal, which creates what you see external of you, nothing shifts. It allows you to stay in that victim mindset. It allows you to believe that everything is happening to you, to hold you down, to oppress you, to make life hard, the struggle. I believe there is a school of struggle here on earth, and I believe that too is a mindset shift, and that you can transcend the school of struggle. You can go through things that are very challenging, but you don't have to be available for struggle. And this is where having the tools, having the mindset, having someone come alongside of you to see the blind spots, we all have the blind spots. Even as I have gone through coaching throughout this experience, and I know the principles, and I'll speak them and I'm talking them and I'm also talking about my situation, I'm not seeing how I'm living contrary to the principles simply because there's a blind spot. And my mind has seen something one way for so long that it doesn't even recognize where it's falling a little bit short, where it can flip the script, where it can sidestep and view a different angle. So with this law of correspondence, I'm not saying also, just to be clear, that the circumstance that you are in, you have the ability to wave a magic wand and just change it. What I'm saying with the mindset approach is that your perception is going to change. And when your perception changes and how you see things change, how you feel about it is going to change as well. And that is what this show is all about, right? We have the power of perception. And perception alone paints our reality. So for instance, last year, as we went through this challenging circumstance with my husband, I thought it was a really huge problem in the beginning. I thought the future was very uncertain. I questioned whether or not I should remain in a relationship with him. And I really had to dig into my own beliefs of why, what is the deal breaker, on and on. And I've talked about this in other episodes, so we're not going to go deep down that rabbit hole. But no matter what I did of my internal work, of my mindset shift, I couldn't actually change the legal situation. Even when I was subpoenaed and interviewed and I thought I could bring truth to light, I couldn't. They had already moved and already moved in a direction on the case, and they were sealing the deal. They were going for the conviction. But the problem that I saw in the beginning faded into a challenge, into a hardship. But it wasn't a problem for our relationship. It wasn't a problem for my life. If not, there's something better. And I was really radically responsible for those inner beliefs, those core values, in challenging what I'd always believed, in finding that my definition of unconditional love didn't align with the type of unconditional love I wanted to receive. So I needed to start giving a different type of unconditional love to receive the unconditional love that I knew I deserved. So what is the key to breaking the patterns the law of correspondence allows you to identify in you, right? Because everything that's happening around you is a reflection of what's going on within you. So if everything on the outside is a result of something on the inside, then we should have the empowerment to shift the thing on the inside so the outside starts showing up different, right? Everything I just said in a way more concise way. So what is the key to breaking that pattern? It's using an opposing energy. And we'll get into that law in a couple weeks. But it's literally leveraging that energy. So if you feel wronged by someone, for example, apply forgiveness, including self-forgiveness. In my example of the situation from last year, you better believe I had to forgive Travis for my perception of what he had done. I had to forgive myself for many things, including my reaction to the situation. And I had to seek forgiveness from him for believing and seeing a problem. And then all of the reactions I had to that problem. It's really that simple. You just apply an opposing energy. Another case in point, tears and sadness, on the drive to glee and joy and happiness in flying a kite. Complete change of energy. Complete change of perspective of what I saw in the world. So as we're moving to the top of the hour, there are a couple of things I want to share with you guys in our shameless plug. The first is I have this incredibly fun offering that I have been having a blast with this month, and it is in the Voxer app, and I am doing a daily drop 6 days a week. On Sunday, it's time to integrate the voice clips, the energy work, the mindset, all of the amazing stuff that we go over throughout the week. So you're getting 6 audio drops, 6 days a week to help carry us through this time of the year. We get to, you know, August, the dog days of summer, and maybe the goals we set at the beginning of the year, they're starting to fade and fizzle. Like, we're a long ways away from them. And it can be easy to fall into that thought process of maybe I'll just pick it up next year and start over, right? And so I really wanted this month to be a time of inspiration. There's also a lot of things happening energetically this month that is a lot for people to navigate and traverse. And so I wanted to just have some fun and come alongside people in a different way, casual. You can, they're usually 10-minute clips at the longest. You can work it into your day at any time that works for you, or the extra day on Sunday when there isn't something, you can catch up. And I designed this to be the best $44 people would ever spend in their life. Those audio clips are always going to be available to you. So you can go back and have another month of inspiration anytime you want it. You can star the clips that really, really speak to you and really resonate. You can go back to them anytime you need them and want them. So it is the gift that keeps on giving. It can come along you, come alongside you and support you at any time. If you want in on this offering, I would love to invite you into it. It's so simple. You can email me at fiercelyradiantsoul@yahoo.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. Just simply shoot me a message saying I'm in for Voxer. I'll get you a pay link. And it doesn't matter what part of the month you join. You are not too late. At the end of the month, anyone who didn't join on the first day is going to have access to everything. So now, being anytime, whether you're listening to this on replay or in this moment, now is the perfect time to dive into that. And the other shameless plug I have to offer is our amazing coaching community with Stronger Together, where you guys not only get the live coaching sessions with SJ and I in 6 modalities being used all at the same time. The session she and I did this weekend in person is so powerful, such raving reviews. It's so amazing, the synergy. Like, we're talking about energy. When you put all of that together, the shifts that people have are so dynamic and they're so quick. So within that coaching community, not only do you get those live coaching calls with us, and you get the energy work, you get the mindset work, you get the shamanic journeys, you get the crystal healing, you also get over 17 courses to have the tools, like we're talking about, to change the energetics on your own, to keep you moving forward every day, to pull you out of the trauma, to pull you out of the emotional overwhelm. So we invite you along in that community as well, and you can find that on the News for the Soul page or on my website, www.fiercelyradiantsoul.com. And next week, SJ will be joining me here in this space. And until then, friends, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.